T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
9-6, Stoney.
Wow.
That was...
Look, I know the weather was bad, but it wasn't...
It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was windy. There was a significant wind factor, especially in the second half. The snow started to come around. But come on. It's the Big Ten. It's November. It's no Omaha or Lincoln. You got to deal with the elements. And that was a pathetic display of offense. Really good defense. Michigan State's defense is fantastic.
Look, I was one of those who said, you know, Lombardi's got to play. I mean, I don't know if they could have done worse with Lewerke. I mean, Lombardi was 15 of 41.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, in certain situations, if you saw, and I didn't see a lot of the game, but I looked at, you know, I taped it and watched some of it, they would have been better off being actually more conservative and running the ball more.
Well, I don't understand. And that's a great point. I mean, you mentioned Lombardi's numbers. They threw the ball 41 times.
They only ran the ball 38 times.
37. Okay. That's unacceptable.
Yeah,
I mean, that's completely and totally unacceptable. And to say, okay, well, we're banged up, you know, oh, L.J. Scott's out. I mean, they lost Felton Davis and, you know, Lewerke's injured, whatever. They have not scored a touchdown in, by my count, 131 minutes. That's a full game against Ohio State, a full game against Nebraska, and they scored their final touchdown against Maryland with 11 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. So that's 11 plus 120. That's 131 minutes with zero touchdowns.
You're not exactly playing amazing defenses either in that stretch.
Correct.
Okay, Ohio State's defense has, you know, given up a lot of points.
Right.
Maryland's defense, I mean, is not great.
Right.
Nebraska's defense, they're not known for their defense. I mean, seriously.
There were some who, before the season started, suggested that this could be Mark D'Antonio's most talented offensive team yet. And injuries and ineffectiveness on the offensive line certainly derailed that.
No doubt.
But I don't think anybody anticipated that it would be one of his worst yet.
No.
And that's exactly what this is.
And Lewerke, even before he got hurt, regressed.
Oh, correct. Yeah. I mean, there was belief that Lewerke could be perhaps the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Based on how he finished up the year last year.
Right. Look, Cody White got hurt as well. Look, they had tons of injuries.
Of course.
No doubt about it. That definitely is a factor.
A lot of teams deal with injuries.
Right. But, and here's the thing, you have to be able to come up or devise game plans to go with your injuries. You have to figure out a way. All right, listen, we can't run the ball up the middle. Because our offensive line, we have to be more creative. And I know they do a lot of these jet sweeps, but usually they're at really weird positions on the field.
Yeah.
They just don't do enough to move the ball and score. And look, you know, it's time for Dave Warner to go away.
This is the column I was thinking of. So Graham Couch wrote this on August 7th. Okay, this did not age well. Maybe you might want to pass this along to Freezing Cold Takes. Greatness in sports is often and easily overstated. I mean, just look at this headline. The headline is, this could be Michigan State's most prolific offense since ... ever. So let's begin here. Michigan State's football team doesn't have a single proven great player on its offense. What the Spartans have are moments of greatness and the potential for individual and collective greatness. And they've got it in spades. Never before has Michigan State's football program had this mix of offensive components returning. A gifted every down running back, 3 different and dynamic playmakers at receiver, a quarterback with a live arm who is still most known for what he does with his legs. And he says that this extra element gives this offense a shot to be overwhelming.
He was correct at the beginning of the season. I thought so, too.
Mm.
Maybe not best ever, but you thought they were certainly going to be
right.
Good.
But, I mean, that's why this is such an epic failure, because they went from the belief by some that they could be really, really good to historically bad. I mean, and Michigan State's had some offenses that were less than fantastic. I mean, there were some quarterbacks in there, you know, either little Andrew Maxwell here or there, right?
Yeah.
Little Tyler O'Connor here and there, which were not exactly great chapters of prolific Michigan State offense. But this, what we're seeing here, is just otherworldly. And I'm with you. I think, you know, I know Mike will, if he's listening right now, he'll say, much like John McClane in Die Hard, welcome to the party, pal.
Right.
Where you been all season long?
No, we've at least I've criticized him a lot this season, and you just wait. I didn't think doing it in the middle of the season was going to accomplish anything. So, you know, you do it at the end of the year.
The reason I was reluctant to do it is because I do believe strongly in Mark D'Antonio, and Mark D'Antonio has a way of doing things, and his way of doing things is very stubborn and very loyal. And he believes in his method, and his method usually has been successful. Well, not so this year. 248-539-9797. Jason on a cell phone on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I think it was after that Graham Couch Conference, I decided on a whim to book two flights to Nebraska, buy two tickets on StubHub, and make travel arrangements.
Oh.
And it probably came out to about, oh, I don't know, we add in all the costs. Roughly $333 per point we scored.
Wow.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I wanted to go see, experience Nebraska, you know, see Scott Frost in his first year there and soak in the atmosphere with the Nebraska fans, which, by the way, they do deserve their reputation for being very hospitable, very enjoyable conversations with many Nebraska fans on campus on Friday and during the game on Saturday. But, yeah, watching the game from the Section 39, and I gave the Nebraska fans the story about Dave Warner. I mean, Rocky Lombardi running the option. Good athlete, the kind of player that can buy some time with his legs and maybe get a few yards here and there. But if you're going to run the option, design a couple of series for Lewerke. He was obviously healthy enough to hold the ball for extra points. I don't know, but never seen any short pass. I don't recall seeing much of a short passing game.
No.
Everything was going down the field, especially, you know, again, weather was a factor, but wasn't that much of a factor. You could find, as you were talking about, creative ways to do something with the ball. And, of course, when they're inside the five and they see Ossie Lombardi going in motion, I'm like, oh, no, not the Wildcat. So once a game, Warner's got to pull up the Wildcat, and, of course, that flopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I Jason, I'm with you. I mean, like, you know, there's times where you're overmatched. There's times where you just got to throw it up and say, look, we're under talented, we're understaffed. I mean, you talk about, you know, the injuries. I think Felton Davis is as good a receiver as there is in the conference, and the guys along the offensive line, some of the injuries there. But I'm sorry, zero touchdowns, two consecutive weeks. This is college football. This isn't some archaic 1890s rugby style game where the punt is the best, most exciting play in the game. When you see some of the scores that are being put up there, and I know D'Antonio kind of bitched about that critique on Saturday because he said, well, you know, I see teams giving up 42 points. I mean, what's so great about that? Well, okay, fine. But you do run the risk of everybody racing past you in terms of offensive efficiency. And we were joking earlier, Michigan State is favored at home on Saturday against Rutgers by 27.5 points. And I don't see where Michigan State's going to score 28 points unless their defense scores three touchdowns.
Correct.
It's hard to picture that. Now, having said that, they'll probably win by 40 just because that's the way football goes.
Yeah,
but
and
there's a lack of consistency that's alarming.
And they'll probably try to they'll save Dave Warner's job.
I beating up Rutgers, Stoney, and going to the TaxSlayer.com bowl should not save his job.
No.
Joe on a cell phone on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. You know, it was, you guys are touching everything that I don't know if a lot of Spartan fans are just simply ignoring or they don't want to accept, but it's clear that our offense is terrible. Going back to August, and you guys had mentioned that about Graham Crouch, we had a lot of expectations about this offense. The greatest? No. But, you know, I mean, they got to be competitive. It's disheveling for fans to watch this week in and week out. I don't think Spartan fans, you can go all the way back to 2007. I can remember a game specifically out in Madison. Yeah, Jehu Kalkrick, Javon Ringer pounding the ball the whole game. I think they lost the game by 1 or 2 points. They got inside the 50 and they decided to pass the ball three times in a row. I mean, you can go all the way back to 2007 of the boneheaded situations they got themselves into all because of the offensive play call. I mean, it's clear Dave Warner has got to go. They've got Coach D'Antonio has got to just make some tough decisions here. I mean, it's getting said over and over and over again, but now it's very clear. I had mixed feelings on the Ohio State game. You know, they had an opportunity to go to the Rose Bowl. Great. But you know what that would have been? That would have been a scoop of ice cream on a pile of dog crap, guys. That's what that would have been, okay? And I'm glad they lost the game. And you know what? It's mixed feelings. You're glad they lose the game because now it gives us more artillery to fire at coach and say, look, it's time.
Can I ask a question? Would you put D'Antonio under any type of hot seat? I mean, everybody likes to address everything when they're assessing people and with their own particular time frame. And look, I wouldn't personally fire Mark D'Antonio, but since the Cotton Bowl loss to Alabama in the playoff, they are 19-17. That ain't getting it done.
I agree that D'Antonio does deserve a lot of the criticism for not handling. I mean, you look at this from a business standpoint. You're the CEO. Sometimes you got to clean house.
Yeah.
If you want this thing to keep running, I mean, you sometimes got to, and we read the stories in his personal relationships with these families. We understand that. But this is a business, and your reputation is on the line. And
I agree with that. To go to your question, Stoney, I 100% know D'Antonio's not on the hot seat in my book.
No, I know.
But if he comes back and is very stubborn about this offense and says, look, these are the coaches who got the program to where it was, and these are the programs that are going to get the program back to where it needs to be, then I think it starts to put a flicker on, because then I think it's a great call. I mean, I know that Michigan State fans were not rooting against them to you know, against Ohio State. I get what he's saying, though, which is by losing to Ohio State and having that Rose Bowl dream go out the window, it really did kind of laser focus in on what the problems are with the team and the program right now. And if D'Antonio ignores those in the offseason, I think that will be a very, very poor decision on his part. Because his stubbornness is something to admire, mm-hmm. and I think his stubbornness is part of the reason why Michigan State got to the heights it got to. But stubbornness can be a negative as well.
Oh, yeah. So can loyalty, as we've saw with the Lions organization for years and years and years, unfortunately.
And Lloyd Carr.
For them, as well. But at least Lloyd Carr and Mark D'Antonio have had success.
True.
As opposed to the Lions.
The ticket techs are pretty much 100% in agreement. 90% of this falls on Warner and, to a lesser extent, D'Antonio. Has little to do with talent. It's mostly with the garbage offensive coaches. Come on, guys. State needed to practice outdoors. That's from Bill on a cell phone. That's a very, very good point. Dave Warner is the worst offensive coordinator in all of football, including high school football. Aaron from South Lyon. The quarterback was hurt. The three prolific wide receivers have all been hurt. The every down back has been hurt. Jamie, want to point that out specifically? I think we mentioned
they did.
They have had a lot of injuries. There's no doubt about that. Was that from Graham? Look,
he didn't even mention in this text about the offensive line.
Yeah,
which is the key to everything.
Can I just point out? I'm not criticizing Graham Couch when I say that. I'm saying it's a startling drop to go from could this be the greatest offense Michigan State's ever had to a team that has had a historically bad offensive season and didn't score a touchdown in 2 weeks. A single touchdown. Citadel, how many did Citadel score against Alabama? 17?
Yeah.
They scored two touchdowns against Alabama. Okay? Scoring a touchdown should not be putting a man on the moon.
No, it should. Now, in fairness, they did drop a lot of passes on Saturday as well. And they had some ridiculous, they went back to Spartans of yesteryear with all their personal foul penalties.
Oh, yeah. That game was like 30 years of Michigan football, yes. All wrapped up into one. I mean, the personal fouls were, I mean, you could argue that it led directly to the comeback because they led 6-0 after the second field goal by Coughlin.
Right.
And then on the kickoff return, it was a personal foul. And that basically put Nebraska in business right around midfield. And then from there, they scored 9 unanswered. And along those lines, Lombardi actually did well, but the receivers killed them. 2 drop touchdown passes, many other drop passes. Tight ends were terrible. White had 3 drops. Stewart and Nelson with huge key drops. And, of course, Warner calling wildcat formations didn't help either.
By the way, Jamie, you downplay the significance of this game coming up on Saturday. You realize that Michigan State needs to win this game to salvage a 500 conference record over the last 3 years. Right now, they're 13-14 in the conference play the last 3 years.
Well, it's a great conference, Stoney. It's a great conference. So
you want to be 500 in a three-year period.
I'm not downplaying the significance of this Michigan State Rutgers tilt. I'm just saying the significance might be overlooked by fans who are making decisions as to how to spend their Saturday late afternoon evening instead of driving up to East Lansing.
Yes. And the thing is, they do win this game. They will be playing on New Year's Day.
Really?
That's what it appears. Either against, I saw what, Mississippi State, and either the Outback or the Citrus or something else like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, MSU versus MSU.
And that also speaks to the excellence of the Big Ten Conference.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.